Seeks Adventure, all about cars, bars, eats, and adventures, with your hosts, Brad Fanshawe, Dave Merrick, and Heather Storm. Learn how to drink like a man, dress like a man, eat like a man, drive like a man, act like a man. Every episode is adventures and misadventure. Hey, everybody, thanks. You're listening to Man Seeks Adventure. I'm Brad Fanshawe. And you know what? I've got something kind of interesting today because normally it's myself in studio with Heather Storm and Dave Merrick. Now, if you listened to our last episode, you know that Dave and I were out and about. We were out on the town. We were actually at the Long Breach. The Long Breach? Dave, were we at the Long Breach? Or the Long Beach?
It was the Long Breach. Breach of alcoholic consumption.
Yes, it was the Long Beach Grand Prix. And we took a side trip, went downtown Long Beach and found some of the cool restaurants, told you about some of the clubs, some of the bars, and we actually ate at a fish house there. So if you're interested, go back and listen, and you better be interested. But today, what I'm saying is that nobody's in the studio with me. I'm here all alone. I'm a scared, Dave.
Is it echo in there?
You know, no. You know why I'm a scared? I'm a scared because what? Heather's not here to make a cocktail, a drink of the day.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know what? I'm prepared.
You got a beer in the fridge.
There we go.
Nice.
So, anyways, hey everybody, welcome to a new edition. And Dave and I, we went out on the town Saturday night in search of some Man Seeks Adventure activities, and it was all just for you, the listeners, wasn't it, Dave?
It was absolutely for me. I'm sorry, for the listeners. Yeah, it was for everybody. And when you hear what we did, you're going to wish you were there, too.
That's right.
Just by the name.
Now, Heather does wish she was there because she had been in Chicago filming her TV show, came back. We were going to do a Sunday afternoon edition of Man Seeks Adventure, but she got stuck on an island just offshore. No, it wasn't like Gilligan's Island. It wasn't.
It was a three-hour tour. Yeah, three-hour tour.
But she went out there to get a little bit of downtime, missed the boat coming back, and I think she was happy that happened.
I think she was, too.
Oh, and the island is Catalina, by the way.
Yeah, and Heather is both Ginger and Marianne, for those of you try and decide.
There you go. Hey, there's times when she's the professor, too, when she concocts
right.
those drinks.
She's a mixologist.
Yes. So, hey, Dave... you know, anything new going on? Because I got some stuff I want to tell you about.
Well, I think, you know, we can talk about, we ended up at the R Bar in K-Town, which a friend of mine owns, and I always recommend it. You have to know the password.
R.
And it's kind of a pirate bar, R. And they always post the password on Facebook, their Facebook page. But anyway, but before that is what we want to talk about. I guess
before that, come on, don't get off track. We got to take them through a story, man. We're storytellers. Don't be going all over the place like you're on a, you know, like you've been drinking all day.
I started at the back and went in, you know, I have to count back the days. It's like doing your food log.
So let me start with, let me get this show rolling like we're professionals. Now, I have been driving this past week the Jaguar 400 Sport F-Type, and let me tell you what, I was pretty pleased, Dave. This car was quite spectacular, but before we get into my impressions of it and telling you all about it, on a serious note, hey, guys, we don't drink and drive, and neither should you. You know, Man Seeks
That's
Adventure
right.
is all about having fun.
Right.
Yes, we're all about, you know, going out on the town, drinking and doing all that.
And
but when we do that, we Uber.
That we both Ubered.
Yeah.
And even though you had the Jaguar, we both Ubered.
And the thing about it is that that's very serious. Don't drink and drive. You're not only endangering yourself, but the lives of everyone else
right.
and the property of everyone else. So take it
that
easy. Be cool.
don't be a dick, don't drink and drive. That's going to be our new slogan. Don't be a dick, don't drink and drive.
Yeah, just don't be a dick.
But I
digress always, but I'm going to tell you, I will put the name of my Uber driver on the way back after I left you. He was amazing.
He was good, huh?
The coolest guy. Oh, he's awesome. He was great. It was a Cadillac CTS, and he was phenomenal.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, we'll have to do that. Cool.
So we always go, hey, this guy sucked, but I think we got to give him a shout out for being a good one.
Cool.
Anyway, and then while you were driving the Jaguar, I was being driven in China because I went to the Beijing Auto Show.
Well, let me finish up about the Jaguar. Don't get ahead of me. And then can tell me all about – I asked you, didn't we start the show with Dave? What have you been up to?
I thought we were going to talk about Saturday.
We are, but we've got to, it's more of a show than just Saturday. I know Saturday night kicked ass, but come on, man. So Dave, you know, we had a great night, but let's build up to that, man. That's the climax.
Do it.
I mean, you know, geez, I mean, you just go right to the right there. So anyways, hey, so the Jaguar 400 Sport F-Type. Okay, so we know that Jaguar and Range Rover have been taken over. How many years has it been? Do you know, Dave? You should know that. You're in the car world.
It's at least 8, I think.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and first it was Rover and then Jag, but I think, about maybe more, maybe 10.
And everybody was a little bit kind of like, I wonder how that's going to go. You know, a giant like Ford turning over that luxury group, but it has worked phenomenally for them. I mean, it's done well. And
freedom.
Yes, and the styling. I've got to say, this new F-Type 400 Sport that I was driving, E.M. Callum did a fantastic job in the styling of this. And I keep saying that I call it affectionately an English gentleman that's been going to the gym regularly. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
So, I like it.
No, but I mean.
Because I think the car is really, really attractive.
It is. It's muscular. It's bulgy. It has that short, you know, rear end on it that makes it look fast with the long nose. And then when you add the 400 Sport, which the 400 stands for the horsepower. Yeah. 400 horsepower out of a supercharged V6. It puts out 339 foot-pounds of torque. But what's great about it is that if you want to just cruise down the road and you're on your way to a business meeting, you don't want to be beat to hell on the, you know, with the tough suspension and everything like that, you're just in a nice mode.
And the thing is, you can drive it anywhere.
Yes.
It's still, like, really, really cool looking. I've often said, and I've been known to say this, it's got a really good rear end.
It does. It does. I mean, the diffuser under it and everything. And
yeah, whatever. It just got a nice rear end.
You say that about a lot of things. But,
that's what I'm talking about.
But the splitter up front, everything about it, the one that I was driving was very handsome. It was silver with flat kind of charcoal gray wheels, and then and then all matte carbon fiber, which I really appreciated because from a styling standpoint,
good contrast.
Everything is glossy carbon fiber. To see the matte carbon fiber on the inside and the outside was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's nice.
And now I will say,
did you have an English accent when you drove it?
Did I?
Hello. Yeah.
Well, of course I did. I got on and I tried to pass myself off that I was David Beckham, but no one went for it. They said, you look
too low.
Exactly. Now, they said, you look exactly like him. You're built like him, but you don't have any tats. You know, that's what gave it away, Dave. That was the only thing. But Dave, I know you work for a competitor, but have you sat in that car?
Yeah, I have driven it.
How did you fit in it?
I fit in it good.
Okay.
Actually,
I was wondering, but
I'm not a small guy.
You're not a small guy. I am. I fit in it phenomenally. But
I fit in it great.
But the seats themselves, I loved the sports seats in this 400 sport. But I kind of thought a guy like you, it might be kind of a wedge.
It would, but if you go back to what you said, it's kind of a gentleman's, you know, supercar kind of thing. And it actually fits me really well.
Cool. Well, the other thing that I want to say about it was that not only did I enjoy the styling, not only did I enjoy the seats and the carbon fiber that was mixed with some black piano finish, but I did enjoy, like so many cars nowadays, the analog and the digital instrumentation. You had both, but this car had it simultaneously, which was fantastic. Yeah. The integration of the entertainment system, the I did one of those little things, and Dave, from an automotive design standpoint, is this one of those things that is just going to trip people's triggers, or is it actually something to smooth the lines of the car, or is it just some dumb little extra that is like an add-on? Because when you start the car, the top of the dash articulates up, and that's where the vents are.
Yeah, that's a lot of people love the entertainment value of that and kind of the specialness. Yeah, people love that.
It's just a conversation piece, and it was, and it's pitching. And from a design standpoint, when the car's off, it's just this beautiful leather dash. The stitches follow down. You don't have these big, ugly vents there, you know?
Yeah, and that's literally, it's more purposeful, too. And people in focus groups will say that.
Yeah.
They'll say, I knew I was ready to go because, you know, the controls came up.
Yes.
I think you're going to find in autonomous driving that's going to happen more. Because, you know, you don't need a steering wheel, you put it away or whatever.
Right.
You know, a lot of companies have shown that in concepts. But yeah, I think that any of that animation when you get in, whether it's sound or lights or even physical like that, is the customer loves that stuff. It's not cheap.
No.
You can tell Jaguar, they made sure it worked and did the right thing to you do it and make sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a perfect integration. Now, the other things that I liked were the air-conditioned seats, where my ass stayed nice and comfortable, not all sweaty, and the heated steering wheel would be nice in the wintertime. And then the final thing on the interior that I really, really did like was the glass roof. And what I've driven Porsches with glass roofs and things
full
like that.
Nano.
Yes. But what I liked about it was I realized I have owned so many cars with moon roofs and sun roofs. And it made me realize I never hardly opened those sun roofs. I would just slide the panel back and let the sunlight come in.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm buying into this. I like this.
Yeah, you don't miss it opening is what you're getting at.
Exactly. I don't need it.
As long as you have the view. Yeah,
because then it's just more noise, and I got to turn the stereo up louder.
Did it have a power shade?
No, it was manual.
Shade?
It was manual.
Okay, but it had a shade.
Yes, you'd pull the shade forward or push it back. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you have that, you're good to go.
Exactly. Yeah, you couldn't live if it was glass all the time, which is like the Porsche. The Porsche, it's glass all the time.
Yeah.
And in Arizona,
especially in Southern California,
that kills you in Arizona.
Sun belt, you're dying. Yep.
So performance-wise, what I liked was that car handled as well as it looked, and it had 295 tires on the rear, 255s up front, 30 series, and they from the back you just saw all the tire.
Yeah, it just sits good.
And
as I said, a nice ass.
Yes, a very nice ass. And those two big exhaust pipes centered in the very center of that diffuser panel.
Yep.
But I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden I reach down and I touch the button. And with one button, the car kind of plants itself. The steering stiffens up.
Air suspension.
And and
sport mode.
And it goes into that sport mode. They call it dynamic mode. And in dynamic mode,
IDS. We call it IDS.
IDS.
Integrated dynamic system,
And the exhaust gets throatier. And you know what? Paddle shifters, or you can use the sport shifter where you just you know, bash it up and back. And, it, you know, so you have a selection. What's more comfortable for you? But every night going home from the office, when I get off at my exit for my house, it's got one of those 100 or 360-degree roundabouts.
I love those.
And, you know, I'd hit that little dynamic mode, get into the paddle shifters, and and come into that. And I
I do that in my MDX.
Yeah.
I have the same thing. I have the IDS, and I go into sport mode and go, watch this. Don't listen, work. But, yeah, because I have that the 360. It's awesome.
Like, yeah, it's great. It's just fun. It kind of makes the night. And I love the way these new supercars and you know, all of these performance cars, the way the computerized, when you're downshifting, it gives you that little blip. You know, it gives that burr. And it was so cool. But I really enjoyed driving it. I actually, it had a sticker price of just below $100,000.
You were thinking. You were thinking. Right?
Well, when I looked at the leases, Dave, I went, this car is leasable for just about anyone.
What?
Yes. They are really trying to get this out there. And
no kidding.
And but you know what killed me on it? And I'm telling you, Jaguar, I would go out and lease one tomorrow, but I was told, now this was not official, I got this from someone else, that it's 7,500 miles on it, you know, annual limit.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I drive that in a week.
Exactly. In Southern California, when I'm running up, you know, if I'm going up to pitch TV shows or we're running around doing podcasts, I got to have 15,000 miles a year. I mean,
yeah, but that's still the with the sport, with those wheels and that horsepower, and it's that much. Geez.
Yeah. No, it's
another one.
get two. They're cheap. So, but no, a fantastic car.
Under.
And you know what? It's always hard when we're testing cars because you know, if something comes up, you got to be honest. You got to tell, you know, what the deal is. And
sure.
And that car,
your role is to be honest.
Yeah, and my neighbors, they were all oogling it, and I live in a neighborhood, Dave, that there are Lamborghinis, there are Bentleys. In fact, on Saturday when I was getting in the car to come up and meet you, the car was sitting out front of my house. I was walking out to it, and I hear the exhaust note of that car. I hear the, I look up, and there's a guy in a white 400 Sport slowing down to look at the silver one.
And kindred spirits.
Yes, exactly. Right. And it was one of those things where it was getting noticed in my neighborhood. And there's Maseratis, there's, you know, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, there's even some of those, what do they call them, those NSX cars in my neighborhood. And but
all the bells and whistles.
Yes.
For sure.
And anyways, it's a great car. I think it is a top consideration.
I always forget the heated steering wheel's on.
Yeah.
I'm like, God, what's going on? Oh, yeah, okay.
But so everyone, if you want to see it, we're going to have a photo gallery on the Man Seeks Adventure website, as well as our Desired Drive segment will be on there with a whole write-up about the car, all the technical specs, and that'll be up there. So go check it out, because I really like the Jaguar 400 Sport F-Type, and I think you would too, so go check it out. And we appreciate the people at Jaguar loaning that to me for a week so that I could drive it and tell everybody about it. Now, Dave, you were saying that you were being driven around in China?
I was being driven, and also in an expensive neighborhood.
What was it? You live in an expensive neighborhood. Don't give me that.
No, literally, I'm stunned about the China market, how it's just exploded. And it has. I mean, I've been doing it for a little bit now, but even this time, even more so with the auto show. So I went to the auto show, and it's just like crazy busy, even on press day. If you took any of our press days and multiplied it by, you know, 50, that's how many people are in these things.
Really? I mean, so it's to a factor of 50, the amount of people.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's just, you're packed in there. And this is press day, and you think, I can't even look at this car, but luckily I go back around while the press conferences are generally shorter than in the U.S. So while they were doing them, I circled back to other buildings and looked at stuff. But, you know, it's all the – it's the China market, but it's also new cars coming out, debuts. They did a new Aventador, and they did a couple cars that were in Geneva, McLaren and Lambo. And then they did the new Lambo SUV. But literally, we showed the new RDX that we had shown in New York, but for the China market. And it was a pretty big hit because I think it's, you know, it's so sporty from what they're used to.
Now, let me...
It became... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish telling me.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it's like, you know, the lineup that we showed, including the NSX, which, you know, drives the brand from a performance standpoint. And I think people were really, really stoked about it. But, you know, China, it's so feast or famine. I think people, you know, there's so many rich people, and they're all buying these crazy cars. Like, wow, these guys, they get it. But now it's starting to fill in the middle.
They're starting to get a middle class.
Yeah. And, I mean, people are like, it's going to explode. Because,
it's the 1950s, you know, right?
It's the 1930s.
Oh, okay.
You know, when we had, like, 100 car companies,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was just starting to buy a car, you know, after the Model T came. And so that's where they're at. They're like,
well, let me ask you something. Going to that auto show, were there just the major car companies, or were there all the fake car companies as well?
Yeah, no, there's like 1,000 car companies.
Well, did you
there's 100 car companies, and they're going to have to either die or merge or something. They can't all survive this big, like, explosion of, hey, let's make a car.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen that fake Range Rover Evoque?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
it's... The Landwind.
Yes, exactly.
I was there for the press conference.
So they were there, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, how does that, I mean, you know, the Chinese government, that thing is a cookie cutter in every way.
Yeah, it's not illegal. I mean, it's not a copyright infringement. I think Rover sued, but they're not going to win.
No, you can't.
You can't. But I think what happens is that market now is starting to understand authenticity. And
yeah.
They want the real Land Rover, not the imitation.
Not the Landwind.
They break down, and they're like some, you know, it's just not the right quality. But I think what's happening is, what I see is, they don't have to mimic anymore. They've hired designers from other companies and engineers from non-Chinese that have come in and kind of leveled the playing field. So the Chinese companies now are as Chinese designers are getting more proficient, then they're starting to, like, build up. Like, my friend Rick Chan, who used to work for Acura, he's an amazing guy. He knows everything about the China market. Great designer, went to Art Center. And he's born in Beijing. But he went to GAC, which is a Chinese company, and brought them what he knows from, you know, being around Acura, but also the U.S. Schools, and he's teaching people. But he went to Titan, which is another new company. So he's kind of spreading it around how to do your own car. You don't have to copy.
Right.
I think that's starting to really show.
Now,
it's cool.
If anybody wants to go, just Google Landwind, and you will not believe how it is identical.
Well,
now,
Google both.
Now,
Google the Evoque and that.
Yes. Yeah, and look at them side by side. And if one had the other badge on, you wouldn't know. But the other thing is, now I heard that there's a new university opening up over there also. It's called the Pasadun Art Center.
Yeah. Probably.
Exactly. Art Center.
Art Center kind of courted it a little bit of going over there, but. You know, at the end of the day, you want to keep your brand right. Even with us, like with Acura, you know, we want to make sure if you buy an Acura in China, it might have a long wheelbase or something, but it's the same car. It's the same brand.
It's the same.
You know, we don't want to, you know, just be Wild West where they could do anything they want.
Now, is Buick still strong over there?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They're like juggernauts over there, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
So, yep. Well, cool.
Government cars are Audis. Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, it's such an experience. You know, for people that get daunted, they go, man, I don't, it's scary. It's a communist country, man. It's that you don't even know. You would never know that.
Oh, and no, I know that. Yeah, when I go over there for my watch company, it's like those days are gone. They are capitalists now.
And even then, I think that they were always kind of the government management was that, but the people weren't that. They were always
They were always entrepreneurs. Yeah, they were always running their own little businesses. Exactly. And So, Dave, you jumped on a plane, you landed back here, and you went to the office. And then we talked
in Seattle on the way.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
And and then on Saturday we decided we were going to go out and hit the town.
We did.
So I drove that.
And we hit it.
I'm going to use an English term. I drove that lovely Jaguar up to DTLA, and I will say that was quite the decision for me to drive that car. And the reason is because I knew if I drove that car that I would not be drinking that night. And we were going to some very great places. So I had to drink up the atmosphere, let's put it that way. And
I didn't make that decision.
No, you didn't. Well, I Ubered from the parking garage in DTLA.
Yeah,
But I had to say, hey, man, I'm going to have to go drive because I had to drive all the way up from Orange County and drive all the way back.
Yeah, it's a hike.
So that was a ways. And, you know, we want everybody to do that because we're cars, bars, eats, and adventures, but we don't do them all simultaneously. So
that's right. And I'm the bad influence because I said, hey, let's meet at El Cholo.
Yeah. So I walk in.
I wanted to watch the end of the hockey game.
Yeah, and I walk into El Cholo, which we'll tell you all about. But I walk in, and Dave's sitting there. He's got a beer and a margarita. And I thought, I told Dave I wasn't drinking tonight. Why'd he order me a margarita? And I get there, and he goes, that's not for you. I just wanted one of each.
That's right. I started with the margarita, and I thought, you know, I need a beer with it.
Yeah.
It should sound better.
I ordered myself a Diet Coke, but some of those homemade chips. I got a a big basket of those chips. Now, El Cholo, let's tell everybody about El Cholo because it's an interesting place, that old El Cholo. I mean, it was I mean, you came up with the idea to go there. And tell me, and I got some facts for you, Dave, so you tell me about it.
Okay. Well, I said, you know, let's go to the original El Cholo because there's like three of them now. There's one downtown, which is not very far away. There's one in Pasadena. But literally, this is the original, and on their venues, they are the original Mexican restaurant in Los Angeles, which 1920 or something like that.
Well, let me tell you.
There are restaurants before that, but yes, please.
There are six locations now.
Six locations.
Yes,
okay.
And it was conceived in 1922 and opened in 1923.
Okay.
And you know how it was conceived?
It was something else. It was the
the founder Alejandro Barquez. He said that his wife Rosa was such a good cook.
Yes,
that they should open a restaurant. And the following year, they opened the Sonora Cafe near the Coliseum. Cafe, it was over by the Coliseum on Broadway and Santa Barbara. So continue on, my man.
Well, on the menu, they still have Sonora enchiladas, and that's not from Sonora. It's from their original restaurant, I believe. And they also, for a while, had a restaurant called Dona Rosa, which was named after her, but I think that's gone now. But anyway, it's like an old Spanish building, and you walk in, and you feel like if you were to tell somebody anywhere in the world, this is what a Mexican restaurant looks like, this is it. You walk in, it's holy shit, this is amazing. You know, it's all tile and it's all archways and, you know, to maneuver its way through to find a bathroom. It's like, yeah, this is cool.
I thought it was a great place to meet up because it's close to downtown L.A. It was kind of halfway between where we were going. And I'd always heard about it, but I'd never been there, Dave.
Oh, that was your first time? Ah, Virgin. Cool.
Yeah.
And, no, it's really fun. And the food's great. You know, it's just fun.
Well, and it's the history. So if you're coming to L.A. and you want to go to the original one, it's fabulous. And what street is that on, Dave?
It's on Western, just above Pico.
Okay. And one of the interesting things is how it got its name. There was a guest in 1925 that was waiting to get a table because it was such a success. You always had to wait. And he was a cartoonist, and he just kind of drawn, and he was drawn on the menu. And he drew the little figure of a man. And I guess
on the menu, right?
He drew on the menu, and Alejandro came up and said, what did you just draw on my menu? And he said, El Cholo. And which was the name of, back in the 1920s, I guess that's how they referred to field hands, were El Cholos.
Yeah, right.
And back in the 20s. And he said, immediately, Alejandro decided to change the name from the Sonora Cafe to El Cholos. And he literally did it that week, they said.
Wow. That's cool. I mean, everywhere I've been that I know someone that either owns a Mexican restaurant or involved with it, they'll, like when I was moving to L.A., I was concerned because I had a place, Emma's Taco House, that I used to go to, that was phenomenal Mexican. So good that Sizzler bought them. Anyway, I said, what am I going to do when I move? And he goes, go to El Cholo. It's pretty good. And then,
Now, do you know what they coined in 1959?
I'm going to say nachos.
You got it. What is now known as nachos. There was someone who worked there.
Tamale, but nachos,
yeah, and in the thing I read about him, it said that there was a woman that worked there, and she always made these for her kids. And so she was making them one night at the restaurant, and they said, what are you making? And she goes, I call them nachos. And what everybody knows today as nachos, which are chips with the cheese melted over, they didn't start in Mexico. They started at El Cholo.
At El Cholo.
And
that's cool, isn't it?
Awesome. It's very cool. I love hearing the origins of things like that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Now, I do have one more fact about El Cholo since you took me there.
Okay. Let me see.
In 1967, El Cholo became the largest single user of what product?
Oh, tequila. No. How about what product? How about avocados?
Well, you know what, Dave? You were closer with your first guess because it's
was I?
Oh. Cuervo 1800 tequila.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So there was some drinking going on there in 1960s.
Okay.
So
I should have gone with my gut because that's what I usually, you know, lean to first.
That's right.
Wow. Cool.
Got to go with that old intuition, Dave.
I'll bet you they use a lot of avocados, too.
No, I'm sure that they do, and chips and tortillas and all that stuff.
They do the tableside guacamole, which is my favorite kind, where they come out with all
Yeah, that's always the best.
There. Yeah, it's the best.
So
cool, man.
You
yeah.
loaded up on a margarita, and you loaded up on a beer. I loaded up on a Diet Coke and some chips, too many chips. And
I had to save room for the other food.
That's right. Now, I called you the night before, and I said, Dave, there's a Man Seeks Adventure in the making, and we got to go. And you said, what's that, Brad? And I said, well, it's just the name. I just know it's going to be for us. And what was the name I told you?
Yeah, and you said, this thing is, it's an art show, and it's called Pancakes and Booze. And I went, I'm in.
I mean, we knew.
I don't know what the hell that is.
We knew if it was. I mean, Pancakes and Booze art show. How can you go wrong, right?
Yeah, I whoever dreamed this up, we got to go and see. hands down. Like what?
So,
and everybody I've told since, I go, hey, we went to Pancakes and Beer. They go, what the hell is that?
and they were probably intrigued and wanted to go, didn't they?
They just look at you like, what, are you crazy? I think you got the name wrong or something.
Pancakes and booze. What?
Pancakes and booze.
We weren't the only ones, because when I went online to buy us the tickets,
we weren't.
It was sold out. I'm like going, yeah. Sold out? You got to be kidding me. And so I reached out to the promoters, and I do want to thank Justin over at Pancakes and Booze, because it was 6 hours before the event on a Saturday. You know that they were running around like crazy people. And I said, hey, we're willing to buy the tickets, and can we just get some? We saw you're sold out. And he said, I got a couple press passes for you guys. I've heard of Man Seeks Adventure, and you guys rock. You are the best single men's lifestyle podcast in the universe. Okay, so he didn't say that, but he did say he'd...
Yeah, but he said, I got your press passes.
Yes, he did say that. And I was like, cool, that's even better yet. Because what's better than, you know, I was willing to pay, but hey, if he wants to give me press passes, I'm there. And we will. And we were there for that reason, but we get there.
And the pancakes.
Yes, and the pancakes.
I will say this. When you said it was sold out, you think, okay, you guys have been to an art show, so it holds maybe 75 people.
That's what I thought, too.
And it's like sold out. We got there. This place is gigantic. It was at the Union on Pico. It's gigantic. What do we have? We had one, two, three, four bars, maybe?
Oh, there was – well, let's see.
The circle bar, the front bar, the – back. I think
there
were four.
There was four or five, and then there were DJs in every room. There were playing, just spinning different music. It had everything going on. When we got there, we pulled up, the Uber drops us off, and there was a line around the building to get in.
Yep.
Now, of course, we were on the list. Thank goodness.
Which is cool. But there was a line. I was like, holy crap. I was surprised. I go, holy crap, there's a line. What is this?
Yeah.
Because we didn't know what we were getting into. It was like,
I was with you. I thought it might be like a small art gallery and there might, because it said DJ music. I figured, okay, there'll be a DJ there spinning some records and they'll have pancakes
really calm,
or something.
Like,
No, man.
Music in the back.
We would have been asleep. We would have headed to the bar then. So, that would have made me drink. But so we walk up these great huge staircase, and we get to the top of the stairs, and it was not, as Dave said, what we expected. Huge, long bar on one side, DJ over here, and the art show right in the center. And we thought, wow, this is cool.
And people everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. I mean,
it was just
everywhere. And the first person at the top of the staircase Dave ran into was a young lady who was wearing nothing but body paint.
Yep, and I found her intriguing.
and so, but what was most intriguing was we got to the top of the stairs. We're looking around. We're going, this is a lot cooler than we thought. And then we walked into the other room, and it was four times as big.
Yeah. And then the circle bar.
Then the circle bar.
Oh my God, this is awesome.
And there was a huge stage in the main room. And then we found out that we could go down a back staircase to an outdoor patio where they had the pancake bar and more art exhibits. I mean, it was crazy cool.
And you go down these stairs to go out to the outside patio where they're making the pancakes, and the line is going up the stairs. There's a line to get pancakes.
The line to get the pancakes.
We stood in it.
We did. We roughed it out for you so that we could tell you about the pancakes.
That's right.
And we're going to tell you about the pancakes.
Okay.
But that's going to come up later, because we're going to tell you about all the good stuff first.
Yes.
So, Dave.
The booze.
No, well, if you were to pick out one piece of art that stuck out, what would it be?
Well, I'll tell you.
I know what you're going to say.
Other than the body painted girl, it was kind of coincidental. Is that a good word? I guess. So we're walking through, and I'm, you know, as an artist, I look at it and I critique pretty quick. And my art center, you know, being an instructor, I do the same thing. And so literally, I'm walking going, that's pretty good. That's cool. Like the metal skulls, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And so then I'm walking, and then I see this, there's these, like, almost like Nagel lithographs.
Yeah, kind of like pop, very pop art.
Alice Cooper. Yeah, it was very, very Nagel-ish.
Yeah.
You know? And it literally, it was Alice Cooper and Sid Vicious. And I go, now this stuff is cool. And I'm looking at it, and I look down at the name. And as I'm looking at the name, I look up, and a buddy of mine from school was there, and it was his. It was his work. And I'm like, this is the best shit here. And it was him. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Greg Huddy. So he works at the Ford studio. His real job is a car designer, but he's doing this artwork, and it was fantastic to me. I thought, wow.
I liked it. The use of color, the very bright colors, the hard edges, everything was nice.
Yeah, really pop art. The thing is, you know, I said, of course, it's somebody that I would know or do because that's what I would like. You know, that's probably why. Because there was a lot of good artwork. It was just, that was my style.
Now, you brought up the skulls, which were right up there as well, which there was only two of them there. They were cut out of steel, and they were put together like puzzle pieces. They reminded me of, did you ever have those things or see anybody with those dinosaurs that were made out of wood?
Yeah. Exactly that.
That's exactly what it was.
Dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked just like that, and which is probably how they did it. But I kept trying to figure out if it was from something, those ribs. And we have a picture of it, so we can show you. But I kept looking like, is this from like a lever of some kind? And they had like six of them, and made the skull head out of it. Or
I think somebody just flame or laser or water jetted those.
It probably did.
And made
they
them, yeah.
Laser cut them, but yeah, it was really cool.
The name of the artist was interesting too. No, seriously.
Did you
see who the name of the artist was?
I can't remember it.
I just looked at it. It was made in China.
I don't know what you're
saying. That is what
I remember.
Made in China. That was the artist's name.
Yeah.
And it was funny. It was kind of ironic, you know. So it was, is that irony? Maybe it's not irony. Maybe it's just humorous. So
it's clever.
Yeah. Now I want to.
And I have Greg's card, so we can put that up too.
Yeah. No. Greg, definitely. And and you guys, we have a huge gallery of images from this event that we will put up an entire gallery. And if you haven't been checking out our galleries, we've been posting them on our website at manseeksadventure.com. Go there, because when you hear us talk about this, you want to see it visually. And if you want to see the body painted girls, they're on there. If you want to see the skull that we're talking about, it's on there.
You want to
see Greg's artwork, it's on there. And And if you want to see a picture of Dave on the staircase, I did a portrait of him. He's right there. And if you can even see the pancakes we ate and the women who made them for us, there were guys and gals making the pancakes, but a woman made mine and a woman made his, so I'm not being sexist. I don't want anybody to send me hate email, but if you do, you can send it at manseeksadventure@gmail.com. So, I want to tell you, now this show, Dave, we'd never heard of it, but it was originated in 2009, and it's now in 30 cities nationwide.
I mean, it's nuts.
I
can't imagine why we didn't know about this before.
It's crazy, but
it is.
I mean, some of the cities it's in, of course, L.A., Atlanta, Chicago, New Orleans, Milwaukee, Houston, Memphis, Las Vegas, and it just keeps going on. And they're big cities, small cities. And why aren't more people talking about this? They come into a city.
I don't know. Well, but how did all these artists that showed know? I mean, there was a ton of them. I mean,
well,
they're all local.
They say that
on
their website, they say that they get 50 to 150 local artists for every show. They have to submit their art, be approved, and then they get to come in. And you know what?
Crazy.
You talked to your friend Greg, and I spoke with four other artists while we were there that night, and I said, so does this work out for you? Because, you know, it was more of a party. It was a party happening around an art gallery. There were people drinking, there were people, you know, eating pancakes. And so I kind of wondered, but I asked them and they said, no, I've always done at least enough, you know, to pay for it. And, I'm getting a lot of exposure at the same time. So that's cool. You know,
what Greg said that he had shown somewhere. And these were kind of the stuff that he still had. And he thought, yeah, I'll do it. And just, you know, maybe I can sell the rest of these paintings and start anew. And I mean, it was, everybody was like that. It's like, wow, this is, and there was a guy live painting.
Yeah, there's a live painting.
He was just kind of doing it right there, which I love, performance art.
He had
already painted it, but
there were the girls on stage getting body painted with the airbrush artist. Yep. And
I volunteered.
And it all built up to a huge, huge offering of pancakes. Because you can't have pancakes and booze art show without pancakes. I mean, that would be an injustice.
Hence the name.
That would be an injustice, Dave.
Yes.
So Dave and I got in the 30-minute long line. We were clutching our tickets. We were just anticipating those pancakes. And as we got closer, Dave, we waited this long, we saw the people. They would get their pancake slapped on that paper plate, and then they would go over to the syrup table, and we would see. We were about 20 people back, and we were kind of drooling, and we saw the people there, and they would look up, and they would say, "What kind would you like?" And I looked at Dave, and I said, "What kind? Dave, we have a choice." And what did you say, Dave?
I said blueberry. So that's not like blueberry. It's like they make a pancake, and then they throw some blueberries in it.
Yeah, and
the other choices were?
Well, I chose chocolate chip, and the other choice was banana. And you could also, if you were really schmoozing the chefs, I saw a few people get
all three.
Well, no, I saw them get banana chocolate chip. I didn't see all three.
You
could have plain, but who wants plain? When you're at pancakes and booze.
I would have recommended banana had I done it.
What kind of art aficionado would ever let a pancake artist make plain?
I mean,
that's like going to Baskin-Robbins and saying, I want vanilla.
Well, and I have to say, part of the problem was the artistry, if I might be so bold. Here's the deal. Here's what you come down there. And they have, like, four little, like, camp stove
Skittles.
Griddles.
Yes, griddles.
Yeah, making pancakes. And we get close to thinking, how long is this going to take? Jesus, they should have had the Boy Scouts come and do this.
That's what you said.
I mean,
where are the Boy Scouts when you need them?
So, so we get up there. I'm not shitting you. There's a girl. They had, like, pitchers of batter, like, just, you know, like carafes.
They were enormous, yes.
And she's pouring it like as slow as you could possibly imagine, going, look at this, I'm trying to make a heart. And it's like, oh my God, no wonder. I'm going to make Mickey Mouse now. Yeah, and instead of just going, swing him,
well,
what kind do you want? Get it. Yeah, they were just like entranced by making pan. And they'd flip them like 100 times, just like looking at it and flipping it. So it's like, Jesus, just cook the thing, man.
What's funny is that it's all you can eat pancakes. The only problem is you only get one at a time. You have to get back in line. And the line was so long, it was like, oh, man, if they gave me two, maybe I could eat two while I'm in line waiting to get the next two.
The thing is, we had to do it. We had to do it. And I'm glad we did it. There's not enough syrup to make that pancake taste good. It tasted – I told Brad there's a bar in Tokyo I go to that has rubber coasters. And I think they had more flavor than the pancakes. They forgot to – they didn't use Bisquick. I think they probably – I don't know what they used.
Well, I'm going to tell you, mine was a little better than yours. And you know why? Because
– because you had chocolate in it.
Well, that and I supervised the cooking of my – my pancake. She was standing there, and like you said, flipping. Everything was in slow motion. And I said to her, I go, I'll take it just like that. Mine's done. And she said, you want it already? It's not quite done. Yeah. I said, no, it's done. And she goes, okay. Now, she cooked the rest of the ones that the people were waiting for another minute. Mine was plenty done. Dude. Let me tell you, brother.
Well, when we were in the line, Brad said when he was little to make his mom make him pancakes and not quite cook them all the way.
We called them doughy.
That's how he liked
them.
Yeah, and so you had said that story, and we're up close, and I'm watching. This guy going, oh my God, like leave it alone. Imagine if you were cooking a steak and you flipped it every 15 seconds
because. Well,
it was crazy.
Okay.
Now
you went for the art. The pancakes were just kind of the thing. But I did notice, I wonder if they have different people making pancakes in each city because.
I believe they do.
Because
they
in some of the cities, they showed pancake artists where they do these really cool things, kind of like what you get on the top of your coffee at some coffee shops where they do the little design.
Okay, yeah, we didn't get that.
And in one city, they even showed a CAD/CAM pancake maker where it actually would do photos and stuff, and it would put the batter down at different times so that it would get different textures of brown. Really cool stuff. So maybe in your city you'll get really, really good pancakes. But I'm going
to
tell you.
Even if they're bad, you have to do one. You have to.
You know what?
It's pancakes and booze.
I have the solution to this. Drink more booze, and you won't notice that the pancakes aren't.
That's what I said.
They're just going to be sponges to soak up the booze.
But I said that on the way out, that there's not enough booze to make that thing taste good. That's what.
Okay.
I should have had Jack Daniel's syrup or something.
Our recommendation is get the chocolate chip because it was much better than the blueberry, obviously.
Get the chocolate chip, and I would also do it later in the evening probably because the line will go down. Everybody
loves
for the first pancake.
Either that or they'll have drank more and the line will get longer. Maybe we're in the short part of
maybe.
That. Never know.
Could be.
But, hey, so pancakes and booze. Let's sum it up. DJs, live art, body painting, a really cool scene. Dave, would you say there was probably about as eclectic a mix of people in one area that you're ever going to find?
Absolutely.
I mean, it was great.
Absolutely.
It was really great. And everybody was enjoying what was happening, the whole scene. And I know we dug it. We had big smiles on our face when we left, got in the Uber, and we went to the R Bar.
This will not be our last pancakes and beer, I can tell you that.
No, we might stumble on one somewhere out on the road. And I want to tell you guys, if you go to Pancakes and Beer in your city, we want to hear about it. Send us a photo, email it to us, or you know, just tell us about it on social media.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Start getting the pancakes and beer crew, I mean booze crew. So
the booze crew. Pancakes and booze.
Wait a minute, Dave. Dave, I've got it. We could hook up with the pancakes and booze guys, and we could do the Man Seeks Adventure Pancakes and Booze Cruise.
I like it.
Yeah, see?
I like it.
Yep.
I like it.
That's what happens.
Well, I can tell you, in case you wondered, our drink of the day was booze.
It was booze. Well, mine was pancake syrup.
You're the Diet Coke. Dude.
I know. I was boring that night.
I made up for you though. I made up for you because I literally.
Yes, you did.
Ubering for me. Uber is a licensed there, like drink. It's like I'm liberated. But it was great. But then we went to our bar, and our bar is a friend of mine, as I mentioned, and so it's a cool scene. It's in Koreatown. It's pretty close to there.
Do you know what the cross streets are?
I think it's 8th and something.
Okay, well, that was really accurate.
I mean, I know where it is.
Okay, it's called the R Bar, and it's in Koreatown, just over from downtown L.A. Now,
R as the letter R. I think it's 8th and Western, or close. 8th and Normandy, maybe.
And all in all, we had a great night. I mean, we went to the Mexican restaurant, and then we went over to the Pancakes and Booze, and then we wound up at the R Bar, which had a DJ, had a lot of local people there, and I talked to quite a few people. I know you did, and then we split, and you headed home, and I headed to the OC, and
the OC.
Now I was thinking about stopping at the pantry, Dave.
Is that OC, can you say?
Yes. I was going over. I was in the Uber. They dropped me off at the parking garage, and I was thinking about going to the pantry and grabbing a bite.
Uh-huh.
And then I looked, and as always, there's a big, long line.
Big line.
And I was like, I just can't wait in line just to grab something to eat. Now, if I didn't have to drive all the way back to Orange County, that might have been a little different. But if you're in town, you got a little bit of time, check out the pantry. It is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
No menus, no nothing. You walk in, look at the board. What's that?
Yeah, it's owned by the former mayor.
Yes. And it's been there forever.
It is. And you can go next door to Reardon's Tavern, which is also Dick Reardon's.
Yeah.
He owns the pantry. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's like, it's it's always a destination to go to downtown. That or Nickel Diner. Either one of those are pretty cool.
So we're going to give you our hashtag travel like a man is travel to Pancakes and Booze. Find it in one of the 30 cities. Our drink like a man is just plain old booze. Just choose what you want, because Dave, he couldn't choose, and he went for both the margarita and the beer. And what kind of beer did you drink that night?
I did Dos Equis and Dos Equis.
Okay.
And then I did a PBR at Bar Bar.
Did. I noticed you bought a PBR there. That's right.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
a PBR.
You were going basic there. So and our drive like a man is that Jaguar 400 Sport F-Type. And as we said at the front of the show, remember, everybody, never, ever drink and drive, because it's more of a party when you make it home. So it's if you want to go on our website, check everything out. And you know what? We recommend going out and finding some adventures of your own. Let us know. We want people to send us photos out partying. You know, send us some great photos of you out on the town being seeking adventure like a man, and we'll post some of those. And you know what? Make sure you tell us who you are, and we'll mention it. But Dave, you know where they can find us online?
I don't.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Job.
I'm going to tell you. Well, it's actually Heather's job, but she's not here to do it. So, hey, everybody.
It's manseeksadventure.com.
Manseeksadventure.com is our website. That's where you can find all the back episodes. You can find videos of all of Heather's drink making, Dave and Brad's merriment, and of course, our photo galleries. So go there.
Right.
Now, you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Man Seeks Adventure on both Facebook and on Instagram. Instagram's where we post the most stuff, so go there and check us out. But if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter at Man Seeks AdventTR, because they won't let us have a full adventure, just a TR adventure. And
this was kind of a quick adventure.
Yeah. And then if you want to follow Heather, you can find her at HeatherStormLA. You can find me at one of my fans are calling in there at Bondspeed Brad on Instagram. Everywhere else, it's Brad Fanshawe. And of course, Dave Merrick on Instagram.
You
go there.
You can find me at the R Bar.
At the R Bar. So,
Hey, and next episode, I'm going to talk about, last night I went to this thing called the Live Beatles concert documentary. I'll have to explain it.
Really? You have to tell us about that.
Yeah, essentially it's a film, but when they get to the songs, it's performed by a live band.
Really?
With some pretty famous people. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That sounds very cool. You have to tell us about that.
On the next
Man Seeks Adventure, you have to tell us all about that. Don't forget either. And hey, Dave. Hey, Dave, I'm going to brag a little bit.
Okay.
You know what I'm going to drive probably between now and the next Man Seeks Adventure?
Well, you are going to get something really cool but you're getting cool now.
I'm going to drive a McLaren.
Does it start with an M?
Yeah, I'm going to drive a McLaren. Yeah. You know, the guys at McLaren know how influential Man Seeks Adventure is.
The people at Acura have never offered me an
NSX to drive, but, you know, McLaren, they know what to do.
They will, so, you know.
But no, I'm driving the McLaren and Cadillac.
Now that you're earning it, we will.
Yes. And Cadillac is sending an CTS-V to drive. 640 horsepower. So we're gonna have some exciting things.
Luther, if you're listening, you heard it here first. Brad's shouting out for an NSX.
Yeah. We need one.
We'll follow on that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to have that in between the McLaren and the Ferrari that we get in June.
there you go.
So, anyways, hey, everybody, thanks for listening to Man Seeks Adventure. Tell your friends all about us, because we need more subscribers. And if you don't subscribe, now I want to explain something. Subscribing doesn't mean just downloading the shows. Go to iTunes and actually hit that subscribe and then hit those 5 stars, because that's what keeps everybody knowing that we're just the coolest kids on the block. So, hey, Dave, thank you very much. Thanks for hanging out with me on Saturday night. We had a blast.
No, it was great. It was so fun.
And yeah. Heather, we miss you. But you know what? I'm sure you made it back from Catalina, and we're on to Chicago this morning.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Cool. All right. See you.
Bye. This has been a Bondspeed Media production. If you like this show, also check out Mike Brewer Behind the Wheel, Shift and Steer, or Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find them and subscribe on iTunes or visit their websites. If you'd like to reach Bondspeed Media, do so at bondspeedmedia@gmail.com.